We're going to move our prayer time to afterwards, and I encourage you to take your Bible tonight, and let's look at a lot of Scripture. First passage will be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you are like me, your heart is heavy and anxious, maybe a little bit questioning, doubtful, and it is easy to be that way as a 21st century American. And I don't mean to make light of it. I will remind you there are people who are paid a great deal of money to keep you that way. And we need to remember that. Headlines, newspapers are never sold more than in a crisis. Television is never watched more than in a crisis. And sometimes it's truly a crisis. Sometimes it's people like to make money. And so we've got to keep that in mind. I wanted to read to you from the Bill of Rights. I'm sure that you remember this one, the First Amendment from the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Thank God for some signals in that direction from our governor here in Ohio. I thank the Lord for that. It's very important. It's very helpful. It's a blessing that not everyone has in this country, and certainly not around the world. Thank God for the moves, signals that he sent. Prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It is our right as American citizens, according to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, to peaceably assemble. Unfortunately, Americans have difficulty with that. And I don't know who or what is going on. I just know that as a believer, I have a responsibility to pray that my leadership will continue to allow me to live peaceably. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Our desire as believers should be to live a quiet and peaceable life so that we have an opportunity to give the gospel out, to hold forth the word of life. And I want to encourage you to think through these things. As Americans, we're all over the board. And there's a lot of craziness that's going on, but let me encourage you to seek peace and ensue it in your heart. The devil wants to put us all in different rooms and then tell lies about the people in the other room. He'll do that in your home. He'll do that in your marriage. He'll do that at your workplace. He'll do that here at the church. He does it all over the place. And the reason he does it is because he is the father of lies. And he's good at it. And he will accuse you to me. He will accuse me to you. He will accuse us to the Father. He tells the Father that we are doing things that we are not doing. And he will accuse the Father to us. And so we have to be careful with the devil. He is a dangerous, someone would call him a bad actor. He's a bad actor. And as we enter into this realm, into the new stage and the new president, it's going to require us to develop, I believe, some ability to seek peace. It's going to also require the ability to have discernment, develop discernment. We're going to look at discernment tonight. And after we do that, we're going to take some time for prayer. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Luke 12:56, lay a foundation here with two thoughts, and then we will go to Genesis. Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Here the Lord impugns the Pharisees. He says in Luke 12, 56, "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" The Lord expects us to be able to discern the time that we're living in. The Jews of many of the Jews, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the rabbis and so forth, most of them could not discern the time they were living in. They did not recognize that the Messiah was standing in front of them. And as a result, they missed their opportunity and their house was left unto them desolate. And where were they supposed to get this discernment? He said, you can tell the weather. You're watching the Weather Channel all day. You know what's coming tomorrow and the next day. And of course, when you know, they're forecasting the weather, prognosticating the weather. But isn't it interesting, he says, that you can tell what the weather is going to be by looking outside. It looks like rain. Why can't you tell what's going on? And where are we supposed to get this judgment? He says in verse 57, of yourselves. You're supposed to have this judgment. You are supposed to be discerning. Believers, we suffer from a deplorable lack of discernment. And discernment means being able to tell the difference between right and wrong, between wrong masquerading as right. And that's where we get in trouble. The world is not as simple as everything is right or wrong. I'm sorry to break that to you. Some of you want it to be. You want everything to be a switch. I'm just a simple guy. Well, then you need to get some wisdom and discernment. Because in the Bible, a simple person is not looked upon favorably. The Bible says that Proverbs was written to give the young man wisdom and discernment and understanding. Don't pride yourself on being simple. Everything's just basic. It's not. The devil will see to it that it is not. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. You know, it's interesting that the serpent was more blank than any beast of the field. What's the word? Subtle. And Proverbs was written to give the young man subtlety. Normally, subtlety is a negative trait in Scripture. But in Proverbs, it's used in that one instance as a positive trait. Layers. The ability to perhaps not throw up everything that you know right off the bat. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, if you would go back to... No, that's good. 4:14, that's where we are. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Where does that come from? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The Carbonaro effect. It looks real, but it's not real. Did you watch the deep dish Chicago pie? Did anyone watch that episode? He's got the big knife, puts it in there, and the knife, as the customer is sitting there watching the deep dish, the knife disappears down into the pizza. It goes all the way down in. And he comes back and he tells them it's the Carbonaro effect. And they say, oh. The sleight of men and cunning craftiness. People are good at lying. They make their living off of it. And that's the world that we're living in. And why? Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let me show you where it comes from. Chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We are not just balls of flesh. We are spirits. And we are influenced by unseen spirits. When you watch the news, you are, think about this, if you want to get weird with it, it's literally an invisible signal. If you have an old school television, if you have a cable television, or if you're using Wi-Fi, doesn't matter. You can't see it. There's something that's just on the physical side of things. How much more on the spiritual side of things? You're being impacted by influencers who desire to manipulate and change you and carry you with the wind. The prince of the power of the air. Why are we carried about with winds of doctrine? Because the devil goes, and that's why we get carried away with it. You ever hear someone say, "Don't blow in my ear"? You know what that is? It is someone is seeking to influence you in a personal way. Who would get close? Who would you allow close enough to blow in your ear? Now, I don't know what kind of romance you had when you were dating, but that was never my thing. But I can promise you, there's nobody else but my wife that I would even allow to do that. You got to be pretty close to do that, and I can just imagine how close the devil gets to us without us even knowing it, and he blows in our ear. You know, the scripture tells us, be not afraid of sudden fear. Where does sudden fear come from? It comes from the devil's disgusting breath. He blows his halitosis, lying breath in your ear. And that's where fear comes from. If we could smell it in the spiritual sense, it would be easier. But wait a minute. We're required to smell it. That's called discernment. That's called being able to know what is happening, not based on my own gut check. I was raised, came up hard. Don't. You're not smart enough to outwit the devil. I don't care what background you have. He has seen humans like you and I before, and he knows how to get us. We get inoculated against the truth because we know so much. I you have to forgive me. I get fired up tonight. Because believers, if there's anything I would long for us to have is the ability to be discerning in spiritual matters so that we can follow the truth of the Word of God. The Lord expects us to be discerning. And the devil is actively seeking to confuse you. Actively. Tokyo Rose all over again. He is continually broadcasting lies to you. And here's the brilliance of the whole tactic. He uses stuff that you like. You are deceiving yourself. Because you like that music. You like that show. You like that radio show or that podcast. You like that guy or that girl. You like them, and so you seek them out, and you are deceiving yourself. What's weird is the devil knows how to get each one of us. He really does. And so it's so important that we have discernment. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. We'll see, in contrast, a man of God who does not use his discernment. 27:1, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." Verse number 18. Speaking now of Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I." Said basically the same thing. "Who art thou, my son?" Who art thou, my son? That is the question. You see, he is using a sense, the sense of hearing, because he had lost his sense of sight. So if you don't know the story, Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. He loves Esau, not a big fan of Jacob. Jacob's kind of a girly man and likes to cook and hang out in the house. Sorry, I know you're masculine. I know you I know you wear a kilt. I'm sorry. But this is old school. And so Isaac loved Esau, didn't like Jacob. Rebekah, the mom, loved Jacob. And so because Isaac and Rebekah are not on the same page, Rebekah cooks up a plan to get what she wants, which is what happens when, in our marriages, when we get away from the Lord. We cook up plans to get what we want, right? Rather than what God wants and what our spouse wants and needs, we cook up plans to get. Anyhow, that's another message. But she does this, and so she is complicit. In fact, it's her idea to deceive Isaac. It's her idea. Why? Because she has an agenda. She has something that she wants to get. Just remember, when you realize that you have not used discernment, when you realize you've been deceived, you can always look behind it somewhere and find someone with an agenda. There's always someone that has a reason to try to deceive you, whether that be your kids, whether it be your boss, whether it be your neighbor, whoever. Now, here we have in chapter 27, verse 18, he said, "Who art thou?" So he is losing or has lost his eyesight just about. And let me remind you of this first thing to remember. Living in this fallen world, we naturally lose our discernment. It happens naturally. It happens over time. And so we must continually exercise the senses that God's given us. Now, I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between the metaphor of the five senses that we have physically and the senses that we have spiritually. So work with me here. We're going to go back and forth on this. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5:14, over in the New Testament, almost to the end. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Let's read verse 13. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the contrast now, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." Well, how do we know somebody's of full age? "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." How do you learn to discern good and evil? You exercise your senses. Now, that's not spidey sense. That's spiritual sense. And you say, "Well, I don't have any spiritual sense." That's why you need to be in the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit of God. He will give you spiritual sense. But you have to be using that sense. So here's the thing. You ever get to a place where someone says, "Well, what do you think about this?" And your first thought is, "Oh, no, I have no idea what I think about that." You know why? It's the same way when someone says, "Hey, let's run a mile." And your first thought is, "I could never run a mile. I have not been exercising, so I don't have that ability to do it." Even if I have been lifting weights, maybe I haven't been exercising my leg muscles, so it's going to be tough. The reason why we're presented with things, we watch it on television, or someone says, "Hey, did you hear?" Normally, like 99% of the time, that's bad news when they say, "Hey, did you hear?" They're not coming to tell you good news. They're coming to tell you bad news. And you hear, "What do you think about that?" And your mind just kind of blacks out. And you're going, "I don't know of a Bible verse that references that." May I suggest to you that it's because your senses are not being exercised spiritually. And so you have a lack of discernment. So someone comes to you and says, "Well, what are you saying? All gay people are going to hell?" And you're like, "Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know what you haven't exercised your senses." And when you begin to exercise, you realize that it takes some work to think through these things. By the way, if you're wondering the answer to that question, I will tell you later. But you ought to have an answer yourself already in your mind. And you got to wrestle. But see, it's not fun to exercise always. Why? Your muscles are tearing. You are tearing down your normal way of thinking and stretching it and coming to a new way of thinking. That's how you exercise your mind. That's how you exercise your spiritual senses. That's why I'm not a big fan of somebody that thinks they know everything about the Bible. Because I can tell this, you have not been exercising.
You say, yeah, I have, that's why I know it all.
No, exercising is a continual stretching of that muscle. It's a continual working out. It's not that you can't know anything, it's that no one has a lock on the Bible. God has a lock on the Bible. And I submit myself to Him, and I learn from Him, and I grow. But I can learn more, because I want to run further. I want to be able to lift more spiritually. I want to be able to go further than I could before. Notice that the senses must be exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to have an outside source of strength, because sometimes I just don't get it in my head. Let me give you an outside source of strength. Chapter 4, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Here's a great outside source. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Did you know that you are both soul and spirit? If you didn't even know that, then how are you supposed to be able to tell the difference? Right? I mean, sometimes we think, yeah, I know there's some ghost floating around inside of me, but I don't know. No, there's it's more than just a ghost. You've got a soul and a spirit, and the word of God can divide those two things. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts, what I think, and intents, why I think that way. It can tell me not just what to think, but why I ought to be thinking that way. And it's the word of God. Now, that's why I said the Bible is always right, but I am not always right. I would say this. If you want to grow as a believer, be afraid occasionally that you don't know everything. Keep that in your head. Not you're afraid and you know one of these days you're going to know it all. No, keep that fear there, because it reminds you that you're not God. And it gives space for the Holy Ghost to work in your heart. So instead of I'm the one that knows everything, the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And as I'm in it, it's cutting me, soul and spirit. And then I have the ability, when I walk away, some people can't even tell their flesh from their body from their soul, let alone their soul from their spirit. But when you're spending time here, the Lord breaks it down into microscopic sections where you can start seeing things. It's so much more clear. It's, oh, easy. So we have here a discerning problem. Back in Genesis chapter 27. Back in Genesis 27. We're looking at verse number 19. Genesis chapter 27. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me. In developing discernment, let me give you some points that would help you. Number one, don't believe everything you hear. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a short story, and in that story, it was about a private hospital for the mentally ill. I don't know what his problem was with darkness and crows and things, but he just had that thing. And the guy was in charge of this insane asylum, basically. And he says this, the head of the institution says this to the hero of the story. You are young yet, my friend, replied my host, but the time will arrive when you will learn to judge for yourself of what is going on in the world without trusting to the gossip of others. Believe nothing you hear, and only half that you see. You ever heard that statement? Edgar Allan Poe. Believe nothing you hear, and only one half that you see. Don't believe everything you hear. You ever had a situation in your family where everybody's talking about something, a someone, and a situation, and everybody is talking to one another about that person, but nobody's talking to that person? You ever had that in the workplace? Did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? And no one goes to the source. No one actually, well, I don't want to offend them. And it doesn't offend them to know that everyone's talking about them. It does offend them. You know, maybe it's a lack of courage. And maybe it is a concern for them, but hey, why not find out? Find out. You see, you have to be careful with things that you hear because people will lie to you. They will lie intentionally. Here is Jacob lying to his father and prompted to lie by his mother. There's lies swirling around. Sometimes people that you trust will lie to you. Why would a father not trust his son? We must be careful who we allow to influence us. Sometimes things are, especially in the scenario today that we're seeing at the Capitol, we need to be careful believing everything that we hear. And listen, this goes back to, I'm not the master of the universe. I need to sometimes doubt what I think I know. It's a helpful thing. It's much too early to know all the facts of everything that's going on. And at least when you're unwilling to say, I may not be right about this. If you're not willing to say that, you're part of the problem, not the solution. Unless you are there, you have your boots on the ground, it can be very easy to be deceived on things that happened. I'm not saying that one thing happened or didn't happen, but if you have already been judge, jury, and executioner, I don't need any more thoughts in this brain. You have a lack of discernment. You have a lack of discernment. You've got to, you say, well, I know what's right, and I know exactly what's right. Listen, don't you realize that other people can say the same exact thing? And we need to keep going. This is a very unpopular subject. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We must be careful who we allow to influence us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You know, it would have been a lot better for Eve if she would have doubted the devil instead of doubting God. But you know why she didn't? Because she wanted, when she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. Why? She wanted to. She was simple. Simplicity is an easy way to live life and get yourself in a lot of trouble. Well, I don't overthink life. I just get up and live. You're going to crash. Why? You can't just, you know, if somebody said, what's the age that somebody stops worrying about someone behind them when they pull out of their driveway? What is that age? Where they're like, I'm old and I'm coming back. Right? I thought that was a great line because sometimes we get to that point where it's like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm sick and tired of thinking about it. You deal with it. It's a good way to get hurt. Believer, it's a good way to get hurt. Your heart gets involved in something. He said, believe not every spirit. Here's the second point. Continually cross-examine influencing spirits. Continually cross-examine influencing spirits. What does he say in verse number one? Try the spirits. Try them. Put them on the witness stand and cross-examine them. You know what happens? The reason why we think the way we think is because we think the way we think. You know why we feel the way we feel? Because we feel the way we feel. We don't say, wait a minute, why am I thinking like this? I shouldn't be thinking this way. I shouldn't be feeling this way. You ever had a wonderful day where everything is just glorious and it's like the universe is serving up your deepest desires on a platter and it's just great and all of a sudden you just have this negative attitude or things are just not right. And people are saying, I can't please you. What's wrong with you? It's because you are easily influenced by some spirit or another. I don't know what it is. And it's just floating out there in the air and it hits you and it changes everything about you. He said, try the spirits. Put that attitude that is from your ethnic background or your mom
or your dad or your street that you grew up on, put that spirit on the witness stand and cross-examine it. Try it. Put it on trial. Ask that spirit questions. Why do you think that way? Well, don't you think there's any... See, that's the problem. Critical thinking requires being critical. But we're more easily critical against everybody else. How about being critical against yourself sometime? And say, well, I really want that to be true, but how do I know for sure if it is true? Well, I know I really feel that way, and I just watched a news broadcast that really makes me want to feel that way, and I just saw a Facebook post, and boy, they seem to agree with me, and I just got an email from a friend, and it was 100 miles long, so it's got to be true. When do you ever stop and say, but wait, I want to think about this from the other angle? Well, Pastor John, don't you realize that right is right and wrong is wrong? Yes, I do. I also know that here, Jacob was saying, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He is lying to his father. Why? He has an agenda. He has something that he wants. Believe not every spirit. Well, I want you to see verse number 3. 1 John 4:3. Verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. John the Beloved says to the believers, I'll give you a way to know if it's God or not. If they say that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, he was manifested, the Son of God in the flesh, that's the Spirit of God. It lines up with what the Spirit of God taught us and revealed us in the Scripture. That's how you know. And if it won't do that, or if it dances around it and will not come out plainly and say, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, you know that it's of the devil. It's the Antichrist spirit, and even now, when John was writing it, it was in the world. It's in the world today. We have that spirit in the world today. And the devil has had men ready since Jesus Christ ascended. Probably within a year, he had a man ready to be the Antichrist. He's always been doing that. Hitler thought of himself as a sort of Christ. I was reading today. He had this idea. He didn't like the lowly Galilean. He didn't like the crucified Christ. He liked the Christ that was using the scourge to chase people out of the temple. And he quoted that passage. And guess who he was trying to scourge out of the temple? His Third Reich. The Jews. And he plainly said that. Jesus Christ drove Jews out of the temple. Isn't that interesting? Why? You can use the Bible to prove just about anything. You've got to be careful with it. Believers, we must be discerning. We must be discerning. Verse number 3. And every spirit, we looked at that. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Not grown up, big adult believers. Little children. That's where we are. And have overcome them. Young people, listen to me tonight. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is going to accelerate in your lifetime. It's accelerated in mine. It's been accelerating. There have been times, stages in which the people of God have received special grace, dispensation of I don't know what, and it has pushed the devil back on his heels. And it has gone up, and it has gone down, and it's cycled through history. But the ball keeps getting bigger. And it's moving that direction. There's all kinds of signals about it, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Unless the mark. Unless the vaccine, unless government, unless Biden, unless the Democrats, unless, my friends, read what it says. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? You see, it's not always easy to believe what Scripture says. We know what it says, and we intellectually would say, yeah, but do you believe that? You see, that is what discernment is. Discernment is recognizing, Lord, I'm just a little child on this earth. I need your help. God, guide me. If you get the spirit of pride, the spirit that says, we're going to take care of business. Ugh, ugh.
Lock and load, baby. Let's go. That is not the Spirit of God. Now, when it comes to military, you better believe I'm going to be armed to the teeth. You better believe it. But you are not in the military, and I don't believe it's time for us to form a militia and storm the Capitol. You need to take a chill pill in your flesh. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. A lot of times we act and react out of anger and fear. We're worried. We're full of anxiety and care, and we want to do something. I'm sick and tired. Listen, we all have those feelings. But may I remind you that greater is, not greater will be He, not greater was He that is in you, greater is He that is in you. Right now, Jesus Christ, if you have Him inside, you have something greater than anything CNN, Fox News, Newsmax, One America News, Drudge Report, Facebook, Twitter, any of those folks can put out to influence you. You right now have a greater power in you. That does not mean that you don't need to be involved or vote or do what you can do. But please, let me say this, and if I offend you, forgive me. Stop talking smack and do something about it. You've never been to Washington, D.C. You've never been to your local offices of your senator or of your representatives. Stop talking smack. You don't know them by their first name. You've never shaken their hands or even sought to get to know them. You want to know why there's problems in Washington? Because people let there be problems in Washington. That's why. And you say it was a bunch of wicked people up there. Yeah, just like in Toledo, Ohio. And we send them up there. Well, not me. Well, guess what? You don't run the country. Right? So what I'm saying here tonight, I'm trying to call you out maybe a little bit and say, if you really think God wants you to be involved in politics, I know several born-again Christians that are fighting a good fight up there. I will remind you that patriotism and Christianity do not always align. But there are, hey, I thank God for the born-again believers. I've heard from their mouth to my ears say, I remember when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I thank God for that man and that woman. I thank God for them. You want to do something? Do it. Don't sit there in your house and whine about how wicked everything is when you've never lifted a finger to even understand our government at all. And listen, I can with the best of them say, look, there is no America in the Bible. So I don't even need to bother with it. Listen, I am driving on roads paid by American citizens. I am eating food that's delivered by people who work in a capitalist society. Yeah, I know socialism, yeah, but it's a pretty good system we have going. Thank God for it. Listen, we have a lot of blessings. I'm not suggesting you choose one or the other. I'm just saying don't try to make them exactly the same. They're not. You got a mother and father in the house, and they're not the same. You got a responsibility to your American citizenship, and you have a responsibility to your God, and they're not always the same. It could be that in the future, they're vastly different. So what are we going to do? I don't know about you. I'm sticking with the book. And I'm going to hold on to my American patriotism as long as I can. But when they try to pull me apart, you can have it. I'm not hoping for that day. I'm not praying for that day. I'm not going to sit in glee. It's going to be me and my family that are affected by it. But I do happen to look in the back and I see where the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. America's not going to last for thousands and thousands of years. It's going to last as long as God allows it to last. And He's going to use it. And God's going to use us as we use our citizenship. Do something about it. I had to get that off my chest. All right, now. Now we're back to Genesis chapter 27. Again, if that offends you, I do not intend to do that. I'd love to talk with you more about it because the fact is, it's easier to just spout off than it is to do something. Now, we won't take any more time, but I would remind you in Acts chapter 17, the Bereans were more noble because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So not only did they receive information, They search the scriptures to see if it were actually true what was being said. So we have to do that, right? How many of you, when a pastor has said something, you've got like, wait, it doesn't say that. And it gets you into the scripture. That's good. That means you are of the noble Christian class. You care about what the Bible actually says. Genesis 27:20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? So Isaac's trying to be discerning. And notice, he asks a question. Somebody says, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. And so he says, are you really Esau? He asked the question, how did you find it so quickly? That's how you develop things. Discernment. Someone says, oh, did you hear so-and-so said this? Where did you hear that? It's a good question to learn, to use. You have to ask questions. Are you following me tonight? Is this okay? In other words, you don't just believe the email because it lines up with what you already think. You say, where did this come from? You know the reason why Snopes got so powerful? Because people got tired of being lied to, and so somebody decided to start a business, and they're working. Now listen, somebody's got a Snopes as well, right? Who's watching the watchers? But you should know that. Snopes told you to do that. You got to keep an eye. What did he say? Job said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. And they are. Let God be true and every man a liar. But notice what he answers him. This is good. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Sometimes people put spiritual packaging on their lies. Lies. That's why I'm real careful with saying, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. Again, I know it probably sounds like I'm beating a dead horse. I cannot prove to you from Scripture that God called me to preach. I can't. Why? My name is not in the Bible. I mean, part of my name is. But it never says, Jonathan Marshall, I am calling you into the ministry. I don't know if that strikes you weird, but I'm just kind of a literalist. I thought they said the Bible was our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. I'm up for that. So I looked and I didn't see it. I'm not telling you that God did not burden my heart to preach, but I cannot prove that to you from the pages of Scripture. You have to learn whether that's true or not. And some of you are like, I already know the answer to that. Right? We have to be careful. We can put super spiritual packaging on the things that we want to get done by saying, God did this. He may have done it, but be careful. Be careful. The Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Very son. Are you my very son or are you my fairy son? I don't know. Okay. All right. That was the other one. Notice, he used one sense, and now he's going to use another sense, the sense of touch. Because he couldn't use the sense of sight because it was dim, so he's using his hearing, and now he didn't quite get it with that, and so he says, let me try another sense. But notice, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Now here's the problem. Relying on our senses alone will get us into trouble because we're easily deceived. So what happens, verse 23? After he uses, and by the way, look at verse number 27. He uses the sense of smell as well. He uses hearing, touch, and smell. Verse 23, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He discerned him not. He did not make the right choice. Now we could say, well, God meant it. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Isaac did not bless the right guy. Now God can take anything and use it for good. God can turn things around. But Isaac made the wrong choice. At the very least, you have to say, Isaac did not intend to bless Jacob. But he did.
Why? He discerned him not. Lack of discernment. He put a stamp of approval on the wrong guy. Why? Because he was confused. Verse number 23. Verse 22, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands of Esau. He's confused. And what did he do? He went with his heart. Why? He wanted to bless Esau and intended to bless Esau, and he should have blessed Esau. But he was conflicted in his heart, and so he went with his gut. He made a decision. He used three of the things. Apparently, he uses two of the senses. One of them was broken, and he just said, you know what? I've been alive a long time. I've been around the block. Let's put her there, partner. But what's the problem with that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I would suggest to you that you need to bring in other counselors. When you don't know what to do or where to go, you need to bring in a counselor. Scripture tells us where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You can have safety in your life if you will bring in the right counselors. Now, Isaac had a counselor he never turned to. He wouldn't even turn to his wife. That old battle axe, you kidding me? She's always trying to put, you know, antifreeze in my coffee. I don't want her around here. So he didn't have her. Esau's out in the field. All he's left with is Isaac, who's lying to him with a super spiritual package. His eyesight's going dim. He's trying to figure it out. Why didn't he look up and say, Lord? Now listen, he's about to use God to bless this guy. He's about to reference the Lord, but he didn't bring him in. The heart is deceitful. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Try the reins. You see, what happens is this. When you say, Lord, I need help. I need help. I can't figure out what this, who's right? This person, that person, what am I supposed to do with my family? Where am I supposed to go? Guess what God's going to do? He's going to put you on the witness stand. And he's going to start asking you questions. How do I know? He did that with Job. Lots and lots and lots of questions. Job thought, I don't know what's going on. Why is all this happening to me? It's not fair. Look at all. And he's throwing out ideas. And then finally he looks up and the Lord speaks to him and starts dumping questions on him, puts him on the witness stand. When you don't know which direction to go, look up, young person, look up. Please, please stop pretending that you're so smart. Young married couple. Read books, yes. But how about looking up? Read blogs, yes. YouTube videos, yes. Talk to your friends. Probably not as much because they don't know any more than you do. But look up and God will start asking you questions. And the Spirit of God will teach you things. He will teach you what you must know in order to survive. And not just to survive, but to thrive. He said here, he discerned him not, so he blessed him. Isn't that sad? He didn't know what to do. So it was like the reports I heard of traffic accidents and so forth. People writing up their recollection of what happened. The guy that was driving, he said, the pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him. Sometimes I think that's the way we are. I have no idea what to do with my life, so I crashed. I didn't know what I should do, so I just did something and ruined my life. How about looking up? Look what he says in verse 24. And he said, art thou my very son, Esau? Same question he started with. And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. He thinks he's talking to Esau. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven. And he goes on to bless him. And he says the people are going to serve him. And the people that bless him are going to be blessed. And just notice where that comes from. It comes from a lack of discernment. And it comes from, he says, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field. Well, maybe so, but maybe there's another reason for it. A lack of discernment. We've got to be careful that at the end here,
Esau, or rather Isaac, does this, we've got to be careful not to make sweeping statements quickly. Don't make sweeping statements quickly. So here's the points. Don't believe everything you hear. Continually cross-examine the spirits that influence you. Cross-examine the spirits that influence you. And thirdly, don't make sweeping statements quickly. What does he tell us in Ecclesiastes? Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22, 17. The last point is, humbly seek for wisdom. Humbly seek for wisdom. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. I hope no one leaves here tonight thinking that I am saying you should not be involved as a citizen of your country. That certainly is not my heart. But I recognize this. We must make a distinction between our responsibility as Christians and our responsibility as patriots. They're not always the same. Well, how do I know what I should do? Develop discernment. Ask the Lord, Lord, how much of this will you allow in my heart? Lord, how much do you want me to say? You see, the certainty of the words of truth are going to be found in the Scripture. And yes, while we want truth, and that's been my prayer through the entire process of the election, is truth. I want the truth to come out. What do I do if the truth were not to come out? And I'm not saying it hasn't. What would I do if it didn't? That's where discernment comes in. How far down this road do you want me to take this? Do you want me to take this so far down the road that it consumes my mind and I am more concerned about my physical citizenship than I am about my heavenly citizenship? I'm more interested in making sure that I am doing everything I can to watch everything I can and take in every blog that I can and get my heart so stirred up and so impacted and so full of anxiety that I can't even stand living in this country any longer. What about all your brothers and sisters in Christ in communist China? I don't want America to go that direction. I'm saying there's something to live for beyond the physical country that we live in. You can at least add that in to the mix and let the Spirit of God tell you how much. If you come to me and say, I'm running for office, I'll be the first person to back you. Why? I think it's a very important job. They're called ministers of God. I think it's very important. I think it's far more important than trying to get everybody to go into full-time ministry. But I'm not going to allow my own heart to think that this world is my eternal home. And that my responsibility as a child of God is to fight tooth and nail with every Democrat that I see. I'm sorry. That's not what the Scripture teaches. It's balance. Now, some of you are more outspoken, some less. Some of you are just straight across the plate. Some of you are more subtle. How do you know what you should be? Follow the leading of the Spirit of God and listen to His Spirit. And if you're going to listen to Matt Walsh and you're going to listen to Rush Limbaugh and you're going to listen to all these other guys, you might also take time to think in the political realm from the Holy Spirit standpoint. He said, we're not careful. We completely separate the spiritual and the physical. And may I remind you that the men who helped to frame our Constitution were men who had been steeped in the Word of God. They were people who, from their hearts, could speak the Word of God and understood, if not committed Christians, they were in a culture that was saturated with the Bible. In other words, the Word of God was as important to them as the Word of John Locke. More important to them. We can't pretend to want to preserve a culture from 1776 when we're not interested in the things that they were interested in. They may come to us and say, what kind of Christian are you? You see, it's important for us to have balance. To have balance. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. America, founded on Christian principles, no doubt, no doubt. But kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. God can not only preserve you in a foreign culture and in a pagan culture, God can promote you. See Daniel and his life. God can take you to the highest levels. Paul said, hey, don't forget to greet the guys that are in Caesar's household. May I remind you, we've got people on the inside. May I say more properly, God has people on the inside. It's not our battle to lose. It's His battle that's already won. And He's told us. He's told us that these things are going to happen. There's going to be an uprising. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cannot rest. That's the way things are. And what should you do? You should stand and fight when you can. But you shouldn't pin your hopes on a certain person in office. Because even if the election was stolen, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to take up guns? And you're going to kill your fellow citizens? I'll tell you this. I'm not sure which one fired me up more. The looting or the guy that went walking into the Senate chamber and sat down on the rostrum. That boy needs a tongue lashing is what he needs. Hey, listen, we can't pretend to honor something and dishonor it at the same time. I don't know whose side that person was on. It doesn't matter. That was wrong. Private property. It was wrong. You see, if we're not careful as believers, and believe me, I know I'm out on a limb here with some of you, but it doesn't bother me. Why? Because I want you to think for yourself. And not only that, I want the Holy Spirit of God to be able to influence you. And I want you to care as much about what God thinks as what they're telling you to think on the internet. I want you to stand for yourself and have your own opinion. And I hope that it's an opinion that's rooted in the Word of God. I hope it's something that will last longer than just the next election cycle. I hope it's something that you can use to perhaps draw other people to Jesus Christ. That's our commission. Our commission is not to preserve American society. Thank God for it, and I want it to be preserved. But it's not there. What is there? To pray for those that are in leadership, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. It applies to Great Britain, it applies to China, it applies to Japan, it applies to Ukraine, it applies to America. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and sincerity, and that we can help bring others to the truth. It may be that God would say, listen, you're loving this thing too much. I'm going to shake you up a little bit to see where your heart really is. I want to remind you that this world is not your home. And I want to remind you that the three people that we put in the ground recently are no longer American citizens. They are citizens of a country that we're all going to. They entered as a citizen back when they got saved. And that became the first reality, their spiritual life. We must keep this in balance. We must keep it in balance. And by God's grace, as believers, we can develop discernment that will help us to do exactly that.